A Florida bill is making its way through the legislature that would require minors to get consent from their parents or legal guardian before they can get an abortion. Welcome to Sundial. This is Nadege Green. I'm filling in for Luis Hernandez. Florida is already a notification state. By law, parents are informed before minors can undergo the medical procedure. This bill would also require parental consent. Supporters of the bill say parents should have a say when a minor is terminating a pregnancy. Republican Senators Dennis Baxley and Kelly Stargell are two of the bill's supporters. Here's what they had to say.
I cannot imagine a situation where my children would have no say in what happens with their minor children. That's just a basic construct. I can't. The school cannot give them an aspirin, but someone can take them as a minor child to make a decision that is an invasive surgical procedure.
I think it's a fundamental right to have parents involved with the relationship with their child. I think that parental rights is vitally important.
Critics argue that the bill would complicate a minor's ability to access abortions. Among them is Charo Valero. She's the Florida State Policy Director for the Florida Latina Advocacy Network, which is part of the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Health. She joins us now from Tallahassee. Welcome, Charo.
Thank you for having me.
And to note, this parental consent abortion bill is sponsored by Vero Beach Republican Erin Grawl, and WLRN has reached out to her for comment and has not heard back. First, Charo, there is a current Florida law right now that requires parents to be notified when a minor goes to have their pregnancy terminated. How does that work?
Yeah, and thank you for uplifting that, right? We know that in the state, you currently already have to notify parents, right? So parents are already involved in this process. And providers, whether they be provider centers, like a center like Planned Parenthood or doctors, they already have internal policies given the current political climate and given the situation in politically in Florida. People are already, or providers are already, extra cautious and taking all the necessary precautions. We hear from folks in Tallahassee walking us through the process, and a lot of folks in these centers are already have notaries and make sure that the parents are already there. This isn't about involving parents, right? This is about continuing to add barriers to this process
I know this bill's, as you're about to point out, it goes a step further and it requires not just parents are notified, but that there's also consent, that the parents have to agree to the teen or minor having an abortion. What happens if a teenager doesn't get parental consent?
Yeah, thank you very much for that question, because that's also one of the trends that we're seeing with the anti-repro policies, right? Then they start enhancing or adding criminal penalties to providers, right? We've seen this for years in the legislature, whether they're trying to increase liabilities or make it difficult for them to practice. So what the bill would do is, if a doctor who fails would have criminal penalties, and they'd be charged with a third degree felony, right? So these are attacks on providers, and the idea is to scare them enough so they have to leave Florida, right? And it's what they're doing when they also target clinics and force clinics to close down. And I also just want to quickly uplift the impact of what that means, right? So when we attack providers, there was ACOG research in 2014 that found that 23 out of the 67 Florida counties, that's 35% of Florida counties, do not have an OBGYN. That really is alarming when you're uplifting the impact that these policies have on access to comprehensive reproductive care.
And when we're talking about this specific bill, if a teenager doesn't have parental consent, there is a waiver process that they would have to go through. Walk us through what that waiver process would be if a parent says, hey, I don't agree, or for some reason that teen, you know, did not get parental consent for some other reason.
Right. The waiver process is called a judicial bypass process, and it would require a minor to go in front of a judge and essentially prove or show their maturity to be able to consent or have access to this procedure. And the Supreme Court found that all of these laws, there always has to be a pathway for a judicial bypass, right? So minors always have to have this way that they can prove to a judge that they can either not have an adult or a guardian with them, or are mature enough to make this decision. And the thing about the judicial bypass waiver is that when we're thinking there's a minor, this is a person who's under 18 years old. The clock is ticking. Who knows when they found out that they were pregnant, right? We've got laws that are already limiting when they can access care. And now you are putting on a ticking clock, right? You are asking them to navigate this very complicated system where we've heard a lot of people in the legislature share their stories. And even the clerk of courts in the county sometimes don't have a direct process on how to refer people to these services. So you're asking a young person who's under a state of duress, who if and we already know that minors go to their guardians, and we already know that most
I'm sorry to cut you off, but you said you heard from the legislature, at the legislature, people talking about their experiences. Can you just talk a little bit about what those experiences are? What are some of the testimonies you're hearing while in Tallahassee?
Yeah. So one of the biggest stories that sticks out is a person who, already an adult, was sharing their story when they were seeking judicial bypass a couple years ago. And they were just talking about the burden of the process that they have to go to, calling the clerk of court, getting in front of the judge, the paperwork that they had to get together. And that's just navigating the legal process, right? Thinking about the lawyer, the funding, the time from school, writing your story, making sure that you're prepped and convincing them that this is why you need this. And then we've also had folks who didn't have that option, who weren't lucky enough and were young parents. And now as older folks with minor young folks that they're parenting are saying, we trust our young folks. We trust our minors to be able to make these decisions for themselves. And we support them because what parents know and what research shows is that most minors will talk to parents and or their guardians. And if they can't, it's for a very unique reason. There's fear of safety. Maybe the guardian is the one who's responsible for this. Young folks are forced.
So you're talking about an incident of rape, for example.
Yeah, for sure. Minors are forced to navigate an extremely complicated process that adults have a hard time even understanding. And on top of that, they have all these other resources that they have to deal with, transportation costs. So it just seems almost a very huge barrier for and seems like the only option would be to force these minors into parenthood, which is very alarming.
And you just touched on this, but the American Academy of Pediatrics actually has said that most minors do involve their parents when considering an abortion. And they cautioned that when states require parental consent, it actually increases the risk of harm, psychological and physical, to minors. When you think of like those concerns, because you talked about time and delaying the process, how does time impact that the potential health outcome of a young person who is seeking an abortion, but you have to go through the court system and you have to meet all of these red tapes to potentially get a waiver if you don't get parental consent?
Yeah, well, essentially you'd be forcing the minor to wait later and later and later in their pregnancy. And also, just to add to that, folks at the American Medical Association, the Society for Adolescent Medicine, the American Public Health Association, there is a wide range of medical and healthcare professionals and providers that oppose this. And you did say, so 90% of 14-year-olds and 74% of 15-year-olds say that they have involved at least one parent or guardian in their abortion decision. And when we talk about safety, right, we're not just talking, so young people do talk to their parents. Medical providers and associations oppose this kind of legislation. And when we're talking about the impact and the trauma, it's not just psychological, right, forcing somebody into motherhood, but it's also like when we ban.
And when you say forcing into motherhood, you mean if they're not able to get an abortion?
Not letting them get access, right?
Okay.
And when you ban safe and legal abortion care, right, people die, right, because people find other ways of seeking this procedure. So it also makes it very physically unsafe. If you don't give a minor an avenue or support them through this process, they're going to find a way. And that's when you're also just making a safe and legal procedure unsafe and potentially lethal.
I'm speaking with Charo Valero. She is the Florida State Policy Director for the Florida Latina Advocacy Network. We're talking about a Florida bill that would require parental consent before a minor can get an abortion. Charo is in Tallahassee. The sponsor of this bill is Representative Erin Krall, and we have reached out and haven't heard back from her. But she has said in news reports and in Tallahassee during the session that parents should be involved in helping minors make decisions about abortions, that this is their right. How do you respond to that?
Yeah. So the messaging around this legislation has been that it's about improving family communication, that it's about safety for minors, and that it's about parental rights. So with family communication, right, we've already addressed that in that most young people will tell their parents. So we can't mandate family communication by law. Right. When it comes to the safety of minors, because of the emotional, psychological and physical potential trauma, we've expressed why this is not safe. When we get to the parental rights bit, it also creates a false narrative where we pin parents against young people or their children, right? Or their minors, right? It's not right. And that's why we also have parents testify who are there and support the minors that they parent, because they trust them in their decision. So we saw this in the House when they were doing their four-hour vote, where in the end, at her closing, the representative got to the true intention of the bill, right? Which is just to put more barriers in front of abortion care.
Now, what
happens? And to then get this, go ahead.
What happens? You talk about barriers and you know, again, I will say that, you know, the supporters of this are saying that this isn't about barriers, that this is, in fact, about making sure that parents are active in these decisions. But what happens when a teen is in foster care or is in the care of a loved one who may not be a legal guardian, which happens quite a bit in our community, where someone didn't go through the legal paperwork to becoming a legal guardian because a parent is incarcerated or a parent isn't available for their child in that way? How would those young people navigate something like this if this bill passes?
Yeah, and these are all great questions. And again, right, we don't have the answers to this unconstitutional bill, right? That's the ambiguity that we're living in, right?
And when we say unconstitutional, it has not been deemed unconstitutional, but you think it's unconstitutional.
Right, right. It may be deemed unconstitutional, right? And we believe that that's one of the strategies of this bill, right, is to be able then to take it to the Florida Supreme Court to then challenge our right to privacy on the state level, right? And the questions that you're asking about, what if the minor is homeless? What if the minor is in foster care? What if the minor is of a mixed status family and their parents are undocumented, right? There's a lot of things. What if a minor's parents aren't as available, right? What does that look like? Right. They would have to then go through a judicial bypass process, or it just complicates the situation for them.
And what is the biggest concern that you have, or what are some of the biggest concerns you have that you've either heard from some of the women, parents even, that you've talked to about what this bill will mean?
So the first part is understanding that this is like the anti-repro bill that is really moving through the legislature. And we have seen for many years in our Florida legislature just attack after attack after attack on comprehensive reproductive care, whether they're attack on providers or it's just a part of it attacks reproductive health care in a way, it chipping away at care. That is just part of a national narrative and a state narrative to just continue, right, attack providers, attack clinics, shame women, right? That is just the one side, right? The other side is that this bill being the gateway for folks to challenge this in the courts, bring it up to the Florida Supreme Court, challenge our right to privacy. And that's really the tactic of this legislation, right? To make sure that to start attacking Florida rights so that if anything were to happen to Roe, that we weaken our state constitution.
And when you say Roe versus Wade.
Yes, thank you. So that we weaken our state constitution so that it's easier to pass, anti-abortion legislation. And, you know, we know that Florida is one of the strongest states in the South, right? It's our right to privacy that would be directly challenged if this bill were taken to our Florida Supreme Court, that we stand to lose, right? And it's very strategic. And this bill has been unconstitutional, has been deemed unconstitutional. It was a case like this that has made it.
Well, this bill has not
years.
Been deemed unconstitutional, but right. a similar bill and that passed a few decades ago was similarly deemed unconstitutional,
yes,
because of privacy issues.
Well, exactly.
Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Chato Valero. She's with the Florida State Policy Director for the Florida Latina Advocacy Network, which is part of the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Health. You can find more coverage of the Parental Bill of Rights requiring minors to receive permission before receiving an abortion at WLRN.org. Still to come, we look at the new census numbers for South Florida and how population growth here could soon be changing.